All right. The perfect position on illegal immigration. But first, a personal message to my friends who are Trump supporters. I get why some Trump supporters are upset with your humble host. I do get it. For all of his faults, Donald Trump is channeling the legitimate outrage of a large body of Republican voters. And for that, some of you admire him. Quite a few of you, it seems. Or at least you want your anger to continue to be heard through him, because no one else is expressing that same ire, at least nobody on the presidential stage. And you don't want him to be silenced or his outrage marginalized. That's understandable. But Trump does have his faults, and too many and too substantive for me to ignore. The fault that should matter to most who want someone strong on illegal immigration is that Trump has so far been at least as evasive as any candidate on what he would do about the millions of illegal immigrants in the country who will, if allowed to stay, produce a permanent demographic shift politically, economically, socially, and otherwise. You fear that shift will be to the left. I think you're probably right. I understand, I respect, and share that anger toward illegal immigrants themselves for the disrespect they've shown for our laws, the entitlement they feel for our generous government programs, the potential for national security threats hiding among them, and the propensity of their legal countrymen and women to vote for Democrats in national elections. Some Trump supporters think that by confronting Trump's faults, I'm disrespecting them and unsympathetic to their anger over illegal immigration. I mean no disrespect for you, but I can't ignore Trump's faults either. And they mean more to me than having a presidential bullhorn to express my outrage with illegal immigrants, even if that anger is real and justified and everybody else is afraid to express it or doesn't even feel it. Bill Clinton felt your pain. I feel your outrage. But being the harshest voice to reflect that outrage is only veneer if it's not backed up with a willingness to lead, to propose, and to argue for a solution to the problem. Trump has declined to offer a solution.
The first thing we have to do is strengthen our borders, and after that, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about it. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
When pressed on CNN this weekend, Trump answered host Jake Tapper, quote, "The bad ones are going to get out. Then from that point on, we're going to look very, very strongly at what to do. And I'm going to formulate a plan that I think people are going to be happy with. But we're going to look very, very strongly at what we do. I'm going to get rid of the bad ones fast. I'm going to send them back. We're not going to be putting them in prisons here and pay for them for the next 40 years. We're going to see what we're going to see. It's a very hard thing from a moral standpoint, from a physical standpoint. You don't get them out. At least 11 million people. I've heard the numbers much higher. We're going to take the high ground. We're going to do what's right. Some are going to have to go, and some, hey, we're just going to have to see what happens. It's a very, very big subject and a very complicated subject," unquote, Donald Trump. Now, if he comes up with a more coherent position or some indication of what his goal would be or how he would propose to reach it, I'll report on that. But as of now, nobody knows what Trump would do about the issue that gets him nearly all of his attention and most of his support. Beyond immigration, Trump has shown little empathy with conservative, Republican, or libertarian economic or moral thought. He's very pro-life, his words, not mine. He supports single-payer health care, unless he's changed his position very recently. And he supported the Supreme Court's Kelo decision to expand the use of government's eminent domain power to include transferring land from one private owner to another. And Trump boasts about giving money to politicians of both parties so they'll give him what he wants. How can I ignore all of that? Unless the thing that matters to me more than all of the other issues combined is that the rest of the nation hear and respect my outrage with illegal immigrants for the damage I believe they are and will do to America. I'm not disrespecting you or the outrage you're expressing through Trump, but if you want me to ignore all of Trump's faults in order to keep you from turning against me, I have to say no to that. And think of this. If he's the strongest candidate on illegal immigration, and he's as vague and weak as he is on deporting illegal immigrants, is there any possibility at all that the rest of the politicians in this country will eventually deport them all, or even many of them? The logical conclusion is that, for better or worse, no matter who is elected president, including Trump, most of today's illegal population is here to stay. And it is a large enough population that its heirs will produce a fairly significant demographic shift in voting citizens in another generation or two, one that cannot help but affect the political, cultural, and economic climate of our own children and grandchildren. Lord, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Serenity prayer is like a screensaver on your phone. It saves your energy for when or where you can use it more productively. Now, sometimes my wisdom fails me. Not usually. And all of the signals I'm receiving tell me that a more productive fight than the one against illegal immigrants is to build a different kind of wall, a policy wall against the damage that we fear. That is, we should shift the debate and the fight to reforming taxes, spending, and regulation. When Republicans get hold of all of the reins of government, which I believe they will in 2017, they should pass a balanced budget amendment that demands balance and limits total taxation. They should pass major spending reform in means-tested and non-means-tested entitlement and welfare programs to lock in spending limits that Congress can't break, at least without raising taxes to do so, and then only moderately. They should pass tax reform that takes the crony out of capitalism, regulation reform that employs a cost-benefit rationale, and support monetary reform to make the value of future dollars predictable. I believe Republicans will have one more chance to prove not only can they govern with conservative, free market, economic growth-oriented small government reforms, but that such reforms will actually produce the peace and prosperity that will popularize small government and economic reform. I believe true prosperity and the peace that it and only it can produce will not only help build a firewall to protect us from the damage we fear, but it might, just might, convince our newest and biggest block of future citizens that conservatives and Republicans actually are a better choice. It's certainly more optimistic and, I believe, more productive than focusing mainly on battling illegal immigration. That said, the next president must have a position on illegal immigration that he is eager to defend as a candidate and enact immediately when he's president. And here's the position that logic and political realities dictate, in my humble opinion. And I'll say it in first person for simplicity's sake, as if I'm the candidate, which I will never be, so don't be alarmed. As president, my focus will be on enforcing the existing law and reversing existing policy of selective enforcement put in place by President Obama. I will indiscriminately enforce existing deportation laws and give that enforcement equal weight with reinforcing the border. If Congress sends me legislation that creates a path to legalization or citizenship, I cannot promise that I will veto it. But I can promise I'll make no effort to pass it. And more important, I will promise I will veto it unless I already have signed legislation that puts in place acceptable spending, tax, and regulation reform. And I will encourage Congress, as part of that reform, to approve a constitutional amendment that, if adopted by the states, permanently restrains both spending and taxation. To review, I will A, dutifully and indiscriminately enforce existing deportation laws to the fullest extent that appropriations allow, and B, I will sign an immigration reform bill if it is one passed by a bipartisan Congress without my assistance, and I will have first signed historic tax, spending, and regulation reforms that permanently limits the growth of the federal government. And there, ladies and gentlemen, is your perfect illegal immigration position for a Republican presidential candidate.